This is our class on Judges. Glad to be getting back. Tonight we're looking at the 13th chapter. Going through 16. We won't go cover all of those chapters tonight, but we're going to be introduced to Samson anyway. Everybody get a worksheet? Good. Welcome to everybody. Welcome to everybody watching online. We're glad to have you with us. And here's a few review questions at the top of the worksheet. And the worksheet should be on. Is it how on? It is. Thumbs up for the worksheet being online. You can download it and make use of it at home or wherever you are watching. I hope. What does the word shibboleth mean to you? Pronounce it right or die. Which, yes. I need a drink. Oh, the mic down. Oh, there we go. I kind of looked like that. He gave me that sign to put the mic down. I thought he was saying, take a drink. I didn't bring anything with me. All right. Shibboleth. Next question regarding that. Who had trouble pronouncing it? Who? Ephraimites. Ephraimites. We might have trouble pronouncing Ephraimites, but the Ephraimites were the folks that had trouble pronouncing Shibboleth. Where were they when they were challenged to say the word? The Jordan, at the fords of the Jordan, coming back across. And who was making them say it? Do you recall? Gileadites. Yes, Gileadites. All right. Somebody's listening in class, all right, or reading their Bible or something. So those are our four review type questions. Is anybody, for extra credit, do you remember the actual meaning of the word shibboleth, which has absolutely no bearing on the anything? Ear of corn, something like that. It's one of those words that could mean a few different things, but ear of corn is one of the things that sticks with me. And the only reason they chose that was because they knew it's, for us, it would be like Worcestershire shosh. What's another word like Worcestershire shosh that nobody can ever pronounce? Smorgasbord? Yeah, Worcestershire. I used to say robot, and because except instead of robot, and I never knew I was saying robot, and then Debbie said, "Why do you say robot?" And I thought, "I don't know. Didn't know. All right, Samson, judge number, anybody remember from last week? Judge number 12. Samson makes it a dozen. Now, in some records, there is one man that we have covered in this class who was by some considered a judge. Anybody remember who that was? Abimelech. Now, why is he not included in all of the lists? He was a usurper. He was not anyone that God raised up. And what we normally see is, and sometimes we even see that phrase, God raised up so-and-so to be a judge. Others are simply reported to have been a judge. But perhaps more than any of the others, we will see that Samson is raised up for this specific purpose. All right, let's do a little reading in chapter 13. We are in 13 of Judges. Excuse me. I need somebody for 1 through 7. Who wants 1 through 7? Boy, I almost called on you, Joe, because you reached up to get your glasses there. But we'll do Matt. He's behind you. Matt, 1 through 7, and then 8 through 14. Who would like that? All right, Kirk. Kirk's got that. Let's read those two sections, and then we will answer some questions and read some more.
And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore, be careful and drink no wine or strong drink and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. Then the woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God, very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, 'Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, so then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death.'"
Then Manoah entreated Jehovah and said, "O Lord, I pray thee, let the man of God who now has sinned come again unto us and teach us what we shall do to the child that shall be born." And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. And the woman made haste and ran and told her husband and said unto him, "Behold, the man that hath appeared unto me, that came unto me the other day." And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said unto him, "Art thou the man that spaketh unto the woman?" And he said, "I am." And Manoah said, "Now let thy words come to pass. What shall be the ordering of the child, and how shall we do unto him?" And the angel of Jehovah said unto Manoah, "Of all that I said unto the woman, let her beware. She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe."
All right. Now the questions go down through verse 25, but we'll stop at this point and start filling in some blanks, and then we'll pick it up. Number one, the blank are back, and this time the Lord blanked Israel into their power. So who would fill in that blank? Philistines. The Philistines are back. This time the Lord blanked Israel into their power, gave or delivered them into their power. So it wasn't like just some kind of an accident or matter of luck. God delivered them into their hands. It was his intention that they be oppressed by the Midianites, or the Philistines, rather. Into their power for how many years? 40 years. 40 years. There was a man who lived in Zorah who was from the tribe of Dan. His name was Manoah. And his wife was barren. Yeah, I thought I'd try to trip you up there to figure out what her name was. That's not her name, that's just her condition. She was barren. Now, if it says she's barren, what do you know God's going to do? Are there any times in the scripture where it says the woman was barren and she didn't wind up having a baby because God wanted her to have a baby? Why didn't God pick some woman who's already capable of having a bunch of kids? I'm not asking a question that you could answer from Scripture. It's just a matter of interest to me that this is how he does things. See, I like that. There's an evidence there. This is the way God does things. He never does anything the easy way as far as we would see it. How hard is it for him, however? If you read the first few verses of Genesis, what's it say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't think giving this woman the ability to have a child is much of a deal to him. But to us, it's always a matter of faith. His name was Manoah and his wife was barren. The blank of the Lord appeared to blank. Angel of the Lord appeared to her. Her, that's what you put in that blank. Isn't that interesting? But he did not blank himself. Think about that a little bit. He didn't identify himself. He didn't say, "Hey, I'm the angel of the Lord." Shows up, speaks to her. She makes some observations, but he never says who or what he is. She simply referred to him as a blank of blank, a man of God. She goes back to Noah and says she saw a man of God. So she simply referred to him as a man of God, though she considered his appearance to be angelic. His message, and then there's a parenthetical statement, because that's what the word angel means, is messenger. Whether it's the Hebrew word or the Greek word, Hebrew in the Old Testament, Greek in the New Testament, the word for angel means the same thing, messenger. God is always sending messages. It means messenger, and his message to her was that she would have a son, but that she was not to drink wine or blank blank, strong drink, or to eat any unclean thing, because the boy would be a what? A Nazarite. What's a Nazarite? Well, that's a Nazarite. It's a vow. It's a vow of separation. He's separating himself into these specifics and these particulars, and she is the one who's starting it. Isn't that interesting? I'm going to talk about abortion and whether or not a fetus is a person. God's messenger is telling her, you got a baby, you're going to have a baby, and while you're having that baby, don't you drink any wine, don't you drink any strong drink, don't you eat any unclean thing. The idea being that will impact this person growing inside of you. And that is not to be. One special stipulation was that his blank was not to be cut. His hair. Who doesn't know that about Samson? Well, now everybody listening to this class knows it. Was there another probable Nazarite in Scripture you can recall? How about John the Baptist? Yes, somebody say that. Yeah, there you go. Yes, Johnny.
Did Paul take a Nazarite vow?
He took a vow. I don't remember specifically if it was a Nazarite vow, but he took a vow. Shaved his head, took a vow. So I don't know if the shaving of the head was so that the hair that would come out after that would be considered of the Nazarite.
I'm positive. I'm still not positive, but I was thinking of Paul.
Because he took a vow. And there were various vows. But this is one specified in Scripture. All right. Number two. Manoah blanked her when she told him what had happened. I think this is interesting too. He believed her. He didn't say, "Woman, you're crazy. What have you been drinking?" No, he believed her. Her husband believed her. Isn't that interesting that the angel does not appear to him? It appears to her. Who did Gabriel appear to between Joseph and Mary? Initially her, to Mary. How about with Zechariah and Elizabeth? Zechariah. What did Zechariah not do? He didn't believe. So Manoah's getting this from his wife, and he's believing what she says. And this isn't a criticism of Zechariah, but it's just interesting to me to make these observations that he was told by the angel that this would happen, and he didn't take it. And so it was said, okay, you're going to not be able to speak until the day you name that boy's name. And that's what happened. Where are we here? Manoah believed her when she told him what had happened and asked God to send the man again so that he might blank them how to raise the child. Teach them. Tell them. Teach them. Inform them. So what are we going to do with this boy? So not only is he believing her that she saw this, but he's believing the message. Oh, we're going to have a son. Think about the faith required to believe that. we need to talk to this guy to find out exactly. It's not, is this real? No, he's already accepted that this is going to happen. Now he's wanting to know, how do we make sure we do this right? Very commendable, I would think. The angel appeared to her while she was in the blank, out in the field. Didn't say what she was doing. Maybe it's the old joke. She was an outstanding woman. She was outstanding in her field. Now, don't tell me you haven't heard that before. Incidentally, I do think she was outstanding. She ran to get Manoah, who offered the man the honor of a blank. And the thing to put in that blank there is meal. Wanted to offer him a meal. As far as they knew, he was just a guy. Remember what Abraham did? Back in chapter 18 of Genesis, he looks up and he sees three men approaching. And what's he do? He runs to Sarah and says, hey, get some bread ready. Cook up a kid. Not a child, but a goat kid. And we're going to feed these guys. And so this is Manoah doing similarly. When asked his name, the angel replied that it was wonderful is an English word in some translations, but you'll have a footnote almost certainly. What does the footnote say? Incomprehensible. Is there a difference between wonderful and incomprehensible? Yes. Our wives are wonderful. Only sometimes are they incomprehensible. They're always wonderful. And he says, my name's, why are you asking? That's his question. Why are you asking my name? It's incomprehensible. You wouldn't understand it. Later, when Manoah brought the food, he offered it as a blank offering at the man's instruction. Did you get that? Burnt offering. Burnt offering. He says, well, you can bring me the food, but I won't eat it. Bring it as a burnt offering. When he did so, when he burned it up as an offering, the man blanked in the flames of the offering. He ascended. Imagine seeing that. Been talking to this guy. You think he's just another man. Apparently something really interesting about his appearance that she says he appears like an angel. But they still think he's a man. And then they burn up this meal that they've brought to him. And when the flames are going, he ascends in the flames. Makes me wonder, how far were they able to see him ascending? Did he just go up like 50 or 100 feet and then disappear out of their sight? I don't know. Makes you wonder, what was that like? The couple then blanked that he was the angel of the Lord. They realized, they understood. That's when they got it. In time, the woman bore a son whom they named Samson. The child grew and the Lord blessed him, the text says. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him, to move him. Now, this is so many things in here that I'd like to stop and talk about. I'll stop and talk about at least one of them and see what happens with this. Not everything is revealed all at once. She's by herself. The angel doesn't come to her as in the appearance of an angel. This is interesting too. When angels come, they almost always look like regular guys. Maybe a little special, but there wasn't anything about him that made her understand completely that he was not just another guy. And comes to her when she's by herself. Doesn't come to her and Manoah. If that had been the plan, he could have done it. But he doesn't do that. He comes to her when she's by herself. What does she do? She goes and tells her husband. What does her husband do? He believes what she says. Not only does he believe what she says, he says, we need more information. I just have so much admiration. I used to read things like this and just kind of read over them. Oh, yeah, the angel told them. But really, when you think about it, that's quite a step. To hear this kind of news, he knows his wife is barren. She knows she's barren. Now she's being told by someone that she has put some faith in that their lives are going to change because she's going to have a son. And she believes it, and then she tells her husband, and he believes it. He says, we got to go get more information. And not only that, fix that guy something to eat. Let's extend some hospitality. Let's fix him some food. And so this is what they do. When you stop and think about what's going on here in their minds and how... Remember when we talked about Jephthah and the evidences of faith in his life? You remember any of those? He talked to the Lord and he told their enemies, you take what your God gives you, we only take what our God gives us. And then he makes a vow, Lord, if you'll deliver them into my hands when I go out to fight, I'm going to offer you the first thing that comes out of my house. And then when he goes back home, what comes out but his daughter? What does his daughter say? Dad, you made that vow. You have to keep it. Where did she get that kind of faith? Why didn't she say, that's just your old religion, Dad. I'm not following that. No, she says, if you made that vow to God, you have to keep that vow. And she willingly gave up herself in sacrifice. And that's why the women of Israel would observe 4 days out of the year a memorial to her sacrifice. Faith, that's what we're talking about. We're seeing people of faith. In circumstances where I don't feel like I know enough, I do because I know what God's provided. But where did these folks go to church? What's that? Okay. That's what Deuteronomy says. Fathers, teach your children. Talk with them when? On the Sabbath day. Wait till the Sabbath day and then talk to them about God. Talk about when you're walking by the way, when you're rising up, when you're sitting, all the time. Talk to your children about the law. Impart these things to your sons and your grandchildren. That's the idea. And somehow they had done this. We don't know if they ever went to Shiloh. What was in Shiloh? That's where the tabernacle was. Did they ever go? I don't know. I assume they did, but I don't know. What did they do on the Sabbath day? Did they ever have a day of worship that they set aside? I don't know. Did they have family devotionals? I don't know. But he's making a vow to God. She has enough faith in God to say, Dad, you better keep your vow. I'll do what you said you would have me do. It's just fascinating to me, the faith that people are expressing when all around them, the whole reason they're having these troubles is because as a nation, they're faithless and they're idolatrous. And God gives them over into the hands of their enemies. But even with that going on, we still see these individuals who exude faith. That's just so encouraging to me. All right. We've gone all the way through chapter 13. We didn't even read all of it. We just got kind of an introduction to it. So let's go to chapter 14, do some reading here. Samson is his story, his record is covered in 13, 14, 15, and 16. But we're just going to go through 13 or 14 tonight. So need some more readers. I need somebody for chapter 14, 1 through 4. All right, Rich has got 1 through 4 and then 5 through 11. Who wants that? All right, Mike, good deal. Let's read.
Then Samson went down to Tinnah and saw a woman in Tinnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, I saw a woman in Tinnah, or Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me as a wife. Then his father and his mother said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she looks good to me. However, his father and mother did not know that it was the Lord, for he was seeking an occasion against the Philistines.
Now, at that time, the Philistines were ruling over Israel.
Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him, roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. After some days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him.
All right, that's all we're reading for the moment. Let's answer some questions, and then we can get back to the text if we have the good opportunity. Number three, Samson became enamored with a woman. What did he actually say? She looks good to me. I don't know if he said it just like that, but I have to think of it like that. Samson became enamored with a woman, but she was a blank. Philistine. His mother and father blanked. And the word would be objected. They objected. But this was of the blank. It was of the Lord, because he sought an occasion against the Philistines. Isn't this interesting? Mom, Dad, man, I like that woman. Go get her for me. Oh, son, can't you get an Israelite woman? Not one of these nasty old Philistines. There is a country song. There's so much you can learn from country songs. I think of it when I read this. I don't know what the title of it is, but the main thing is, I like my women a little on the trashy side. It's a hilarious song. But anyway, think about this guy. How did Samson come into the world? God says, hey, angel, come here. Go down and tell this woman that she's going to have a son. And she better not drink any wine or strong drink or eat anything unclean. Because this boy's going to be a Nazarite. Don't cut his hair. So of all the other judges, we see God finds a man and raises him up to do the job. This time God says, we're sending this boy in fresh. And who is he? Would you think him to be preacher material? Yeah. That's the response that we would think. Anyway, so here we are. We got this boy, Samson, and his mom's objecting, his dad's objecting to this woman. But this is from the Lord. How does that work out? I'm not exactly sure, but it's from the Lord. The Lord sought an occasion against the Philistines. So when things look like they're going haywire, just hold on. Hold on. What's happening might actually be of God. He's always got a plan. He's always working out a plan. Very few things happen, if anything happens, by chance. So, as Samson was going to Timnah, the town where the woman lived, a blank came roaring towards him. A lion. He killed the lion with his hands. Later, he found blank in the blank of the lion. Honey in the carcass of the lion, which he ate, but also took some to his parents. By the way, what does the law say about touching a dead carcass? You're unclean. So he's not only touching a dead carcass, he's taking food from it. Wait a minute, who is this of? This is of the Lord. So fascinating how this is coming out here. Samson used this incident to create a blank with which he challenged the men of Timnah. A riddle. He came up with a riddle to challenge the men of Timnah. Oh, no, we didn't read that. Let's go back and let's do some reading. We can just finish this out here. Verses 12 down through, let's see, 12 to 16, and then another for 17 to the end of the chapter. Who wants 12 to 16? All right, Larry, and 17 through 20. All right, Bobby.
Then Samson said to them, "Let me now, if I am a widow to you, if you will indeed tell it to me within the 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen, wax, and 30 changes of clothes. But if you are unable to tell me, then you shall give me 30 linen, wax, and 30 changes of clothes." And they said to him, "Profound your widow, that we may hear it." So he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet." But they could not tell the widow in 3 days. Then it came about on the fourth day that they said to Samson, "Rise, entice your husband so that he will tell us the widow, or we will burn you and your family's house with fire. Have you invited us to impoverish us? Is this not so?" Samson's wife wept before him and said, "You only hate me, and you do not love me. You have propounded a widow to the sons of my people, and have not told it to me." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told it to my father or mother, so should I tell you?"
Now she had wept on him in the 7 days while the feast lasted. And it happened on the seventh day that he told her, because she pressed him so much. Then he or she explained the riddle to the sons of her people. Some of the men of the city said to him on the seventh day, before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle."
What are you giggling about, Bobby?
I remember getting in trouble for a head for this.
Yeah.
Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of their men, took their apparel, and gave them changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back to his up to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given his companion, who had been his best man.
All right, very interesting. Thank you all for reading. So how far down did we get? We got to about halfway through 3 at the bottom of the first page there. Samson used this incident to create a riddle, which we answered, with which he challenged the men of Timnah during a 7-day blank, a feast. The bet was for blank linen wraps, 30 linen wraps, and 30 changes of clothes. Unable to solve the riddle, they blanked his wife with violence. They threatened her with violence. What were they going to do? "We'll burn your house down around you if you don't tell us." You ever heard that before? Yeah, back earlier, same thing. Number 4, losing the riddle challenge because of the blank betrayal of his wife. And in that blank you would put forced. She betrayed him, but she was forced. She was coerced with violence, the threat of violence, fire and death. Samson now needed to pay his debt. To do so, he went to Ashkelon, a chief city of the Philistines, and blanked 30 men, killed 30 men. Why did he do that? It was the Christian thing to do. See, we read these things, but how is this all coming about? Who's at the back of this? Who's at the This is of the Lord. He's seeking an occasion against the Philistines. Remember, I keep thinking of God talking to Abram back in Genesis, and he says, your children are coming into the promised land, but it won't be for a long time because the what? The iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. In other words, when their cup of iniquity gets full, I'm sending you in, and I'm telling you, wipe everybody out. And then in Leviticus chapter 18, you read the kinds of things that the Canaanites were doing, and this is why God says the land has spewed them out. That's an interesting turn of phrase, isn't it? And so when you think about the Philistines, don't think about these poor, innocent little Philistines just minding their own business, and here comes mean old Samson and kills a bunch of them. No, these were evil people. This isn't about racism or ethnicity. This is about judgment that is righteous based on behavior. This is about evil and God bringing evil on the carpet, as we put it in our vernacular. All right. Kill 30 men and use their clothing to pay his debt. While this may seem to be a blank, you could put down crime. What would you say today if you heard some guy had a debt and he killed 30 guys to pay it? Oh, man, that might make the news. Might seem like a crime. The text says that the blank of the blank came upon him. Spirit of the Lord came upon him how? Mightily, which provoked him to the deed. As we read earlier, this was certainly an occasion blank the Philistines against. God was seeking an occasion against the Philistines, and this fits the bill. Samson returned home, and while he was gone, his wife was given to one who had been his friend. Now see, if you read the text, you might get the idea that he didn't want her anymore and so he left, but that's not the case. He still loved her, still cared about her, still considered her to be his wife. So he leaves. He's, you know, this whole thing with the debt. By the way, doesn't he have a way with words? It's great that Bobby read that, because Bobby couldn't get past it without having a little chuckle over, man, if you hadn't plowed with my heifer. I wonder if Mrs. Sampson ever heard that, if it ever came, but you know what he said about you? But maybe that wasn't. Have you ever read how Solomon described the woman he was in love with in Song of Solomon, the things he wrote about her? Remember what her belly is like? Belly's like a heap of wheat. Women? Your nose, it's like the tower. What was the tower? It was a tower. Your teeth are like a flock of goats. I mean, you go back and you read that. It's like, what? It reminds me of that joke where the guy was trying to think of something sweet to say to his date. And he thought, I know, I'll tell her, when I look into your eyes, time stands still. So they get out and they're sitting across the table from one another, and he leans towards her and says, sweetheart, your face could stop a clock. So, didn't come out just right. Now you read about this guy. Well, we haven't filled in all the blanks. Let's fill in the other blank. To one who had been his friend, the stage is now set to show us that God has not yet blanked with his occasion against the Philistines. Finished. He's not done yet. More to come. This is like the cliffhanger. Wow, what's going to happen next week? Now, don't read chapter 15. Whatever you do, or you'll know what's going to come next. But think about this. It's interesting, and I'm not saying anything about anybody, but it's interesting that at this juncture in our culture and in our political situation, we're reading about this guy. What are people saying about Trump? Oh, he's got 34 felonies. Okay, right. He did this and he did this bad thing. And yet, how many people said, this is the guy we need right now? And I like what somebody said. We're not hiring a preacher. We're selecting a president. And without anything political, I look at what's happening here and I think, wow, God's the one who puts people in power. God put Joe Biden in power. We might have voted, but I believe that was of God. Because he makes that claim several places in Scripture. He raises up nations, he brings them down. What does it say in Daniel chapter 4? He puts over nations the lowliest of men. If we haven't seen that that's what's happened in our nation's history and in the history of other nations, wow. And I'm not saying all of our presidents are lowly men. I'm just saying that God puts men in power sometimes. And you got to wonder. And who have we read about as a president that didn't have some skeletons in their closet? Maybe Abraham Lincoln. Well, they didn't have Facebook back then. But it is interesting. The farther you go back, the fewer skeletons you see being spoken of in the national leaders. The farther forward you come, the more opportunity there is for legitimate complaint about morals and social practices. And here we've got somebody once described Samson. He's like a biker guy. He's going after the wrong women, kills a lion, doesn't care about the ceremonial uncleanness of eating food out of that dead carcass. He's doing all the things that I believe God is raising him up to do, and it's of great interest to me that God didn't choose him. God gave him to Mrs. Manoah, said, you're going to have a boy. This is how you're going to raise him. And he began to move Samson with his own spirit, seeking an occasion and creating an occasion against his enemies, the Philistines. Just fascinating when you start thinking about all this stuff.
Right. And the idea, too, to remember is that the things that Samson did, you know, like eating unclean, desiring, this wasn't God putting, you know, God didn't make him do that.
Right.
He chose that.
Right.
I like the idea that God used him and gave him tremendous advantages, you know, holy parents, you know, strength, all that business. Samson's the one responsible for the misuse of those.
Absolutely.
Gifts. And we'll find out in the end. God managed to use him anyways, despite his weaknesses and failures. He used him the way
exactly. So I got to remind myself of this when I look at myself and I say, why in the world does God do anything through me? Because I know who I am and I know what I am and I know the weaknesses and the frailties and what I should be doing that I'm not doing and what I shouldn't be doing that I am doing. And you probably do the same thing. You look at yourself in the mirror and you go, oh, who am I? Well, there's where the glory of God comes in. It wouldn't be much glory to God if he took perfect people and did things with them. But when he takes people like you and me, that's glorious. When he saves somebody like you and me, that's glorious. That's worth talking about. That's worth bragging about. That's worth boasting about. And that's what the Apostle Paul wrote. I brag on my Lord because of what he has done for me. And when he prayed to have his thorn in the flesh taken away, God said, my grace is sufficient for you. You just keep on going, you keep on doing. And that's what I think he would say to each one of us. This isn't about you and your flaws. This is about me and my power, me and my grace, me and my mercy, me and what I can do with you if you'll let me. And I keep reminding myself as a preacher of Balaam's donkey. What did Balaam's donkey do? He spoke. If God can make a donkey talk, maybe he can do some good through me. Lord, love you. Thank you. That's all for class tonight.